Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. Great to be with you today. It's going to be a really busy show, so I got to get right into it. There's lots to talk about today. And I do want to hear from you, because we're, you know, the theme that we sort of worked with yesterday carries on through today's political topics. It's about leadership. It's about standing firm for your principles, not wavering. And it plays through the politics of the day. Now, politics, friends, is sausage making. It is, and it ain't very pretty sometimes. But the one thing that you can be sure about is that the people that you can depend on are the people who consistently talk about what they believe and then live it with their lives. Now, you know how that is in your own life, right? I mean, it's no different in politics. Again, you know, I've used this example many times, and you know this is so true because you've lived this with your own children. Do as I say, not as I do, right? Now, there's a lot of that today here. And it relates to a number of stories that we're going to talk about that are primarily Oregon-based, but also relates to Abraham Lincoln, Donald Trump, and what's going on in this country and what needs to happen today in Oregon. And frankly, it has to do with the timber compromise yesterday and a conversation I had with Herman Bertziger, the Senate Republican leader. All of that is part of what we're going to talk about today. So it's standing firm for what you believe. And I started that yesterday with my comments about Rush Limbaugh and reading the piece by Victor Davis Hanson. And one of the things that has been so prescient, and I think why Rush Limbaugh has been so successful at the time that he came onto the scene, was this. Think about it. It was 1988. Was that the end of Ronald Reagan? In the beginning of W. Bush. H.W. Bush. Bush almost immediately cut a deal with the Democrats and went back on his read my lips promise. And he raised taxes. That angered a lot of people, including me. And the reason it angered me is for those of you who were engaged in politics at that time, might have felt the same way, maybe not, but the reason that it angered me is because he went back on his principles. This was one of the key drivers as to me getting more and more involved in politics, and ultimately led for me, my viewpoints being more solidified more at that time than ever before, partially because of Rush Limbaugh's influence in my life, but it led me to go run for the legislature in 1999. And I got elected. Well, 98. I got elected in 98 and served in 1999. So this business, friends, of standing firm for what you believe, in the Victor Davis Hanson piece, as I pointed out yesterday, is that one of the things that made Rush so unique at the time was that he stood firm for his principles and did not waver. Now, with anybody who talks, whether it's me or it's you or anybody else in your circle of influence, talking a good game is one thing, and a lot of politicians do it. But people in the radio business have done it. But Rush came along at a time when he the only thing he could do was say it consistently over and over again. Okay, but remember, it's do as I say, not as I do. Your kids remind you about that. They did. Even if your kids are grown, you know how important it is to follow through with what you said you were going to do. That's not what happens in politics generally, folks. It's a mistake. It's a mistake not to follow through. Just like it, and it's no different at your home or in politics. This is why. Friends, this is absolutely why it is so important that we understand that today's what Donald Trump has said today is something, his policies today that are benefiting this country in so many ways, continue to be the policies that made America great. And you only have to look back, not at what Donald Trump has said for decades, and he has, but what Abraham Lincoln said. This is profound. And it gets to this piece that's in the Breitbart today, but it also, it follows into everything here that's in play in Oregon today. So number one, there's a story today about the economic forecast yesterday. Yeah, our revenues are up even higher. Oregon tax revenues and our lottery revenues are up an additional $183 million. Now, what that means is that you're going to get an even higher rebate check. That's a good thing, your kicker check. But it's the headline that I found interesting. Economists puzzle over why. Well, apparently the economists that are in this Oregonian story that are quoted are the economists for the state. And they can't figure out why, because they say that population growth and other economic indicators show that our economy is weakening. Well, it may be a little bit here in Oregon, because what are we doing? We're raising people's taxes. We're raising their cost of living. Duh. What do you expect to happen? But what I found interesting is that they don't understand, even though they're so-called economists, they don't, because, folks, they're ideological economists. Okay, they're the Paul Krugman economist who predicted the economy was going to crash after Trump was elected, that tax cuts never work. Take a look at the economy right now. It's powerful. Now, if we could just control spending and the spending increases at the federal side, we could balance the budget a lot sooner than what Trump said in his 15-year budget plan that he released yesterday. But they don't understand the dynamics. Friends, I'm telling you, and I'm going to give you a story about this. I'm telling you the dynamics of not just cutting taxes, but cutting regulations is powerful in ways that these left-wing economists, and those are the people that are making these economic predictions in Oregon, officially for the state of Oregon. Folks, they're all graduates of the left-wing. You don't get hired in Oregon if you're not a lefty, especially on the economic side of things. I'm telling you, when I came into the legislature, this is one of the things. These people are not neutral observers. They have left-wing ideologies they believe in. I found this true when my conversations with these legislative staff that work for the legislature, the folks that work in legislative fiscal and the folks that work in legislative revenue. They're two different offices. One looks at spending, one looks at revenue forecasting. Folks, they're all leftists. You need to understand that. They're puzzled. They can't figure out why our money is coming in higher than what we thought. Because they don't get the power that there is when you reduce regulations and you reduce taxes. Because it is what makes America what it is, folks. The individual, people, business people, want to start a business because they want to make their life better. Let me give you a great example of this. My stepson called me last night. He lives in Pasco, Washington, Tri-Cities area. And he told me that he was going to be quitting his job at the city of Kennewick to go into business for himself. Now, he's been in business for himself for a number of years, just doing weekend work, sideline work of concrete work primarily is what he has specialized in, but he's done other remodeling work. There's such a demand right now for his business and his services that he's quitting his very good union job with the city of Kennewick. Why? Because he can make more money for himself and his family by going into business for himself. Washington State gets this at a regulatory level, or at least they have for the moment, because as I spend time with them, you know, I go up to Pasco from time to time, spend time with them and my grandkids. They tell me stories about how there continue to be people moving in from California and from Oregon. Why? Because the cost of living is cheaper there. But also anecdotal stories about how these people who are transplants moving in talk about how not just the taxes are lower, but the regulatory scheme is lower. That's not how we go in Oregon. This is the one thing that these people do not understand, these economists. Now, how does this tie into the principles of leadership? Well, Republicans generally continue to stand for what? Putting some money away in a rainy day fund, saving it. That's a consistent principle that we have said for years. You know, the last time it was really done significantly was Dennis Richardson. And it was done in 2010, and it was done because Republicans picked up six seats in the House for a 30-30 tie. The Democrats had to share power. And they also had to listen to Dennis Richardson, who was chairman of the or co-chairman of the House Ways and Means side of the Ways and Means Committee, the people that write all the checks. He demanded, because we had some negotiating power, that they put money away. And they did, and they needed to, and they needed it. Now, they're demanding the same thing right now. Republicans are, and they should, because this is extra money. Doesn't matter why it came here. But they're consistently demanding that we put some money away and that we not spend every penny. And in this story, it's immediately what the Democrats are talking about doing, spending every single penny of it. Now, that gets back to consistency. Rush Limbaugh. And it gets back to what Trump is doing and saying in America First. And it's not new. Abraham Lincoln said it. And it is so important, friends. And it gets back to standing and fighting consistently. And this gets to my conversation yesterday with Herman Bertziger, which I'm going to share with you in a little bit, because it's all about walking out, folks. It's all about standing firm for what you believe and not diverting from it. Because when you do, you discourage your base. And you tell a lot of people out there that are looking for leadership that is consistent. It's a human trait, friends, to look for consistent leadership. We're going to get into that when we come back. I'm going to tie all of this up for you because there's even more. There's the story about the Oregon Department of Forestry. We've talked about it before. They're deep in debt and they're borrowing money. Why? Because they're incompetent. This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Diamond Royalty Rides. You know, on the 14th, Friday is Valentine's Day. Why don't you do something special? Make your significant other feel special. Hire a limousine. Go out in the town and do it up in style. DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. Check them out, folks. It's 6:20. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. You can also send me an email, and I'll do my darndest to read it on the air. It is jeff at 1220.am. That's Jeff, J-E-F-F, Jeff at 1220.am. I'm like the one that Corby just sent me. And we're going to go to the phones in a moment. So, Tim, hang on. Corby sent me this Infowars.com. And here's the story. It says, survey finds that people who identify as left-wing are more likely to have been diagnosed with a mental illness. Isn't that what Savage has been saying for years? Liberalism is a mental illness? Maybe so. Now, This segment of the show, friends, is brought to you by Righteous Renovations. That's Eric Azor, who is a contractor that can remodel your bathroom, your kitchen, build a deck for you, fix things. And you can rely on him. All you have to do is go to his website and find that out just reading the testimonials. Go to RighteousRenovations.com. RighteousRenovations.com. He holds himself to a high standard. That's good news for you. Eric Azor, 303-341-3816. RighteousRenovations.com. Let's go to the phones. Tim, good morning. What say you this day?
Jeff, today is Senate Committee on Labor and Business. There are five senators that sit on it. They're having a meeting, and they're going over Senate Bill 1564. It establishes product stewardship program for mattresses.
Yeah, I know. So we have a new tax for mattresses because apparently taxing mattresses means that we won't have less of them thrown out on the street, right?
I don't know. I didn't take the time to look at the
Well, that's the theory behind
it. That much money on that with all the things that we could do with labor and business.
Well, not only that, but did you see that the 177-page cap-and-trade bill was dropped by the Democrats yesterday? Late in the day. They have 24 hours to read it before they vote on it to send it down to Ways and Means. 177 pages, Tim. And we're going to think about that and debate that during a 35-day session, which is now about 23 days left.
That's why we have you.
These people are crazy, Tim. And by the way, Tim, I'm going to be at the Oregon Citizen Lobby War Room today. Today it's in room number 162. So when you walk up the steps of the Capitol and walk through the revolving doors, turn right immediately and walk around the treasurer's office and then walk straight towards the coast. We're at the very end room, room 162. You going to join us today? I'm going to be there.
At what time, Jeff?
I'll be there probably about 10 o'clock. I can't get away from the farm any sooner than that, but we open at 8. There'll be coffee there. It's all good.
Thank you.
Oregon Citizen Lobby War Room. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate you sharing with us that that's another reason for you to be involved, folks. A new mattress tax. Good grief. Wilbur writes me an email. He said, it's about Valentine's Day. When liberal or moderate men talk about their wife or their family, they say how wonderful they are and how that they love them and things like that. And so I wrote him back. I said, and conservative men don't? And he goes, well, growing up, I don't remember any of my conservative male relatives ever saying anything like that. Well, I do. And I'm glad they did, because I think conservative men probably love their wives, too. Here's a quote for you. It's from the movie The Untouchables with Sean Connery and Kevin Costner. This is what Sean Connery said to him. He said, you want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife. You pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital. You send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone. Now, do you want to do that? Are you ready to do that? Okay. Didn't Barack Obama, who's ostensibly from Chicago, didn't he say they bring a knife to a gunfight, referring to us Republicans? He was right about that. And in Oregon, that's what we've done. We've always shrank away because we think that we have, again, Stockholm syndrome. Now, Trump showed the way. Anybody else as president would have withered a long time ago under the assault of the left and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the news media and the deep state, not Trump. In Oregon, last session, Republicans, well, they had a spine. They left the state for 9 days, and it shut things down. They have got to do it again. And what that is, friends, that is bringing a gun to a gunfight, at least playing on level playing fields. Now, here's what Herman told me, Herman Bertzig, the Republican leader, yesterday. He said, as soon as this deal was announced for the timber the big timber, through the little timber and timber unity and the Republicans in the Senate under the bus by cutting this secret deal, Courtney brings the story in to Herman's office, waving it as a negotiating tool and saying, see, if you guys walk out, this doesn't happen. That's how it works in Senate. My big timber should not be telling you this. I know they did it because they thought it was in their best interest, and then it doesn't really. And frankly, you know what it does? It isn't a deal. It's just a framework for continued negotiations that would lead to the modification of the Oregon Forest Practices Act, codifying it in the legislative process. But the fact that they cut it in private undermines, and this was what Herman was so angry about, and justifiably so. The Republicans saved Big Timber's bacon. And what do they do as the reward? They throw them under the bus with a secret deal that they weren't involved with, that Timber Unity wasn't involved with. Now, leadership means that Herman has got to stand up and say, it doesn't matter. Yeah, they shouldn't have done this. We should have been involved in the discussions. We should have been at the table, but it doesn't matter. If we have to walk out, we're going to walk out. That's not what he said in his press release, or not what he alluded to. They have to walk out. They have to stand firm consistently and fight. Bring a gun to a gunfight. Am I right or am I wrong? Parked up next.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back. It is 24 minutes to the top of the hour. So, leadership. It is a critical thing. Consistency. You know you have to have it in your home life. You have to have it in your place of business, your job. Politics, and by its very nature, doesn't lend itself to consistency. That's a problem. Now, the piece about Rush Limbaugh, and Art, hang on, because I'm going to get to it in just a second, because it relates to this 177-page amendment, which is a gut and stuff, and Art sent that to me, about cap and trade here in Oregon. Rush Limbaugh has been consistent. You know what you're going to get when you tune into him, his show. And I hope that that's the way that I've been as a talk show host also. You know what Donald Trump is going to give you, because he's consistent. And it's no different than Abraham Lincoln, because Lincoln was consistent. And in the piece in Breitbart today, and this is pretty profound, here the headline is that honoring the America First legacy of Abraham Lincoln, and they go back to a speech that he gave in 1832. In his first run for the Illinois State Legislature, long before he ran for Congress and long before he ran for president. And he talked about tariffs, protective tariffs, and how important it was to have them. And later as president, he continued in his runs for Congress and right up into this presidency and signed tariff legislation. He was consistent in that. He put America first. Donald Trump puts America first. That resonates with people. Now, the Timber Unity Movement is about putting rural way of life first over some harebrained idea that you can actually make a difference in the world output of greenhouse gases by destroying a whole bunch of people's way of life as a global thing. It's ludicrous. Republicans have to be consistent. Republican senators put in place and exercised a successful winning tactic. Rather than folding the way some of them wanted to, and you should know this, there are some Republican senators who wanted to stay there and let it go through in the mistaken belief that it would, sooner or later, the people of Oregon would wake up and they would quit voting for Democrats. Is that what's happened in California? No, it hasn't. It's dumb. Like Obama said, the Chicago way. They bring a knife to a gunfight. We bring a gun to a gunfight. And we go toe-to-toe with them. We use the only tool that we can, and that's to shut the legislature down. So the Republicans in the Senate, and frankly the House, have to show leadership, consistent leadership, and simply walk out and shut it all down. Now, when they do it is the key. Let's go to the phones. We'll start first with Art, and then we're going to go to Brian. Art, good morning. Your thoughts?
Morning, Jeff. You're absolutely correct about leadership, okay? President Kennedy understood it, and that's why he cut taxes back right. in the day. President Reagan knew it. That's why we got Reaganomics, and Reaganomics is still right, Jeff. And the only reason our crazy state people don't understand it is because they don't embrace the truth and the facts. They have their agenda, and that's what they're trying to push on us. They don't understand why Oregon's doing better. Well, it's simple Reaganomics. You cut taxes, you cut, you know, rules and all that stuff. You get a stimulated economy, and now they're trying to turn around and destroy everything positive happening here in Oregon by this stupid law, you know, about the climate change, which isn't going to do anything except raise our taxes and ruin our economy. Our Republican leadership has to say, no, you're not going to do this to our state because it's wrong. And that's where it is, Jeff. We need, you know, leadership that stood up. I mean, Kennedy wouldn't even be in the Democratic Party now. They wouldn't let him because he cut taxes to stimulate our economy. And, well, we know how great Reagan was. The only thing is that he made a mistake and trusted the Democrats to resolve the immigration issue. And, of course, they turned around and stabbed him in the back. And that's exactly what's going to happen here in Oregon. The Democrats are going to stab us all in the back because they don't care about us. They only care about their crazy, crazy agenda.
Well said. Thanks, Art. I appreciate your thoughts. And you know what's interesting about that is they also only care about maintaining power through maintaining the power of the unions. You know, that story, and Brian, hang on, because I'm going to get to you in just a moment here. I want to make this point. You remember that story about Jennifer Williamson dropping out of the Secretary of State's race? One of the keys to that whole thing was kind of buried down in the second Willamette Week story about it. And here's what it was. Jennifer Williamson had found out earlier in the day, this is what the story said, that the public employee unions were not going to back her. And within 2 hours, she decided to drop out. Now, that's how powerful expanding government is. This is what Mike Nierman, and Mike Nierman will be in the war room today. He comes in at noon. So come and join us in room 162 for the Oregon Citizen Lobby War Room. Let's come and let's do war. We teach you how to talk to your legislator, how to go testify. We're monitoring bills as they are being testified on. And we send people around with talking points to literally go talk to people and influence the process. That's why we call it a war room, because that's what it is. We're in a war, folks, for the very soul of this nation, for the soul of this state, for the very future of everything. That happens today. Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, room 162. Now, Republicans have to show leadership. We have to stand firm. We cannot shrink back from this. If we do, everything, folks, the momentum is our way. I'm telling you, it is. And I'm going to get more into that, but I promised I'd go to Brian, and I do want to go to Brian. Brian, good morning. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Jeff. Say, you know, it used to be a long time ago, a liberal is somebody who is generous with their own money, but now it's somebody who's generous with your money. And you know, I think common sense died somewhere along the line. We weren't even invited to the funeral. So the Democrats seem like they have this attitude. It's like you can compare it to like trying to get sober by drinking more. So, you know, they want to increase, in their words, prosperity by taking more of your money. So it's just crazy. And I do hope these Republicans stand firm, because that's just an unsustainable level of taxes that they're trying to lay on us.
Well, and it's not just taxes, Brian. It's fees also. And this is what Mike Nierman talks about, because he brings up a really good point, is that, you know, we're going to show up in mass on these gun bills and cap and trade. And he says, but you walk right past the hearing room where they're holding a hearing, and we don't say a word about making government bigger. And every time you hire more employees, and that's in the story today, that even Republicans are calling for with the forestry department, you hire more state employees, that's more money that gets taken out of their paychecks and given to the unions, which turn around and give it to the regressive totalitarian Marxist Democrats running for office. And we have got to start standing up. And Nierman's right about this. We have to show leadership. Now, so let me ask you this. Brian, are you around the area? Can you come to the war room today?
I'm going to try to make it. If I can get loose for a half hour or so, I'm going to come over there.
Do it during lunch when Nierman is there, because he's always a wealth of inside information and kind of what's going on.
Okay. I'll try to
room,
do that. I
162 it. Is the room, Brian. 162. You walk in the revolving doors, turn right, and just keep going right. Go clear to the end of the hallway towards the coast, and that's where the room is, room 162. See you then, okay?
Okay, yeah, very good. Take care.
All right, that's Brian. All right, so there's a couple of other stories that have to really tie into this. There's one in the Oregon that says, will it price tag doom a plan to make Oregon's government transparency official? This is the gal who resigned, make it more independent. Folks, there is no price tag to it. It's tiny. We just found out we have $183 million more. In this story, and I'll get to it, is more of Kate Brown and how she's gone through, and more of the game and the dance and the sausage making, but the actual deception that happens. We're about to see it again with Captain Trey. No, that's not poverty.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes to the top of the hour. This segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Freedom Heating and Air. FreedomHeatingandAir.net is their website. You know, they've been in business 40 years here in Salem. That's a long time. And it means that, well, they've been successful. Believe me, if you're not taking care of your customers, you don't stick around for 40 years, you know, through the ups and downs of economies. And they have. You know, their slogan is freedom from cold nights, hot days, and high utility bills. Right now, it's cold nights, right? You know, if you got an emergency at home and it's kind of cold there, you better give them a call because they can come out and immediately get to you and fix it, and especially if you're a business. You know, they specialize in business systems. They have discounts for veterans, seniors, and property managers. So why don't you check it out? It's freedomheatingandair.net, freedomheatingandair.net. So I got another email here from my buddy Lee. It says, almost right out of the Agenda 21 handbook, I heard on the radio this morning, the city of Portland will deny plans for narrow homes to have garages, because garages could be for electric cars, take up yard space. A simple internet search on narrow and tiny homes finds several beautiful homes where the first floor is the garage, and the garage doesn't look like a garage door. But garages go against our urban plan. Okay, but if you pack people into the area that is sufficient infrastructure to support them, little things like transportation, local grocery stores, employment, little things, the quality of life, bigger isn't always better, creativity with space. Agenda 21 is alive and well, attempting to control people. Well, that's exactly it. And Rich writes an email, cap and trade is only about destruction of an economy, so socialism can come in and control everything. Taxes, fees, assessment just takes more money away from everyone, which is done on purpose to destroy an economy. Jeff, it's about a takeover, a coup. It's that simple. Democrats do not exist anymore. They are socialist communists, and they don't think about anything else. Rich is going to be at the war room today. I hope maybe you can join us, too, at the state capitol. Come and take a stand. Room 162. Going to start about 8 o'clock. Tracy and Sam and Jack will be there. Then Mike Nierman, Representative Nierman, will show up at noon, and he always has something interesting to talk about. What's going on kind of behind the scenes, and who knows who else drops in. Sometimes Republican leadership and senators and House members swing by. Now, there's a trick in the legislature. That's something that I learned when I first came into the building in 1999, my very first session, and here's what it is. There's two reasons that a bill goes to Ways and Means. This is the Budget Writing Committee. This is, when you're on Ways and Means, believe me, I can tell you, I served on it all 4 years. You are powerful, and people you never knew were your friends are your friends now. These are all people looking for money from government. And they want to take you to lunch, and they want to take you to Blazers games, and this and that, and the next thing. Well, two reasons why. Bills go to Ways and Means for two reasons. Either they're going to get passed because they do have a real fiscal impact and the money needs to get doled out because leadership wants it, the governor wants it, or you send it to Ways and Means to bury it, to kill it. Now, that's what this little old bill is. It's a proposal to make the transparency official truly independent. Now, this is a Democrat bill. This is this whole kerfuffle about Ginger McCall. You know, this is her lawyer, not her lawyer, but Kate Brown's top lawyer, Misha Isaac, and that was that whole thing that I got involved in filing complaints against him and so forth. Senate Bill 1506 doesn't create any new programs or services. It just moves the responsibility for hiring and firing the public records advocate from the governor over to the Public Records Council. It has no fiscal, but they want to send it. They wanted to send it there. Why? Because Kate Brown doesn't want to follow through. Now, that's obvious. And they talk about it in the story. In fact, a longtime lobbyist that I've known there he's a member of the Public Records Advisory Council, but he's a lobbyist for Special Districts of Oregon. He's a guy by the name of Mark Landau. He's quoted in the story. Quote, "For the life of me, I'm struggling a bit finding where the fiscal light might be triggered," unquote. Because there isn't one. Now, this is all about that Misha Isaac, this is Kate Brown's lawyer. This was a bill that came out of the Public Records Advocate and their whole group, including the advisory committee. He expressed disapproval of the bill and desired to stop it without having the governor's fingerprints on it. Ginger McCall writes in her testimony, "Misha conveyed to me that by doing that, the council had put the governor in the awkward position of having to potentially oppose bills herself instead of relying on stakeholders and lobbyists for cities, counties, and special districts to oppose the bills. Because the governor didn't want to be outed as being who she is. She is not transparent. She didn't want to have to oppose a bill publicly." In fact, Ginger McCall said, she lives in D.C., and she testified over the phone on Monday that Brown staff continued to pressure her even after the death of her 7-week-old daughter. She had a baby. The baby died 7 weeks later. During that time, they were still pressuring her. This, friends, is what has to be exposed and stopped. All of this. And the only way it's going to happen is if you talk to your people in your world that are persuadable and let them know these kinds of things are happening, because it's wrong. It's morally wrong, and everybody gets it. Kate Brown, I go back to leadership, consistency. Kate Brown is always do as I say, but not as I do. This story about Misha Isaac and how that they tried to bury this bill by sending it to Ways and Means so it could die like it has died previously. There's another example of Kate Brown doing something that people hate. And that's do as I say, but not as I do. As opposed to Abraham Lincoln consistently saying for 40 years in politics, certain policies having to do with protective tariffs. Donald Trump saying for the last 40 years that he's been followed the same things about tariffs, about America, about making things here. It's consistency. Now, these are all things that you can point out to the persuadable and help them reach that conclusion that they have to reach on their own, folks. That you don't support people who are deceiving and lying to you. Do as I say, not as I do. That's your opportunity. Will you take hold of it? See you today in the War Room in room 162. Be blessed out there.